with a board that is an owner and a customer.
I mean, typically what we see is that in this effort to SEPA, as you're sitting in SEPA, utilities themselves are the expert. And then you talk about the internal, but it affects, and it's a very symbiotic relationship. I mean, that's what you guys are talking about. So what we're trying to do is capture those and get those down.
So I think we put public relations on one of the challenges, but we should also put that on the opportunity side.
I think it is. I think Jeremy mentioned that.
Have you got it on both sides?
Public perception, is that
what? Make sure.
Well, I think.
Or public relations.
Communications, public, I mean, this whole thing is improving, how do we improve the opportunities?
I don't see it. So
I'll add it, yeah.
So, hold it. I got it.
Okay, thank you.
Board terms might be accounted because we locate new people in our schedule every year. And so how do you gain continuity in regard to your, because you change every year?
Yeah. Eddie, can you start that on the internal?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so that's going to be an internal one because that's internal to SEPA. But yeah, let's capture it. Keep going. Yeah.
I think we do have some opportunities on the legislative and regulation side that impact our business usually, especially as it pertains to relicensing.
Yep. Okay.
I was gonna. I love piggybacking on things that have been said, but you know, you said opportunity for the external relicense or the legislative part of that, and I think as far as SEPA as an organization goes, that there's a great opportunity to leverage that to assist the member utilities. As an example, I got some information from Trey with regard to some legislative activity that's happening that we may not have been privy to, but then it gets passed along to us because your SEPA is directly and intimately involved in the process much more than the small utility would be. So I think that's a great opportunity to communicate that to the member utilities.
That's a great point, and that's one of the few things that you actually have in your enacting documents that says that you're supposed to be doing similar to that.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much wide open. We're going to go into it, but it's pretty much wide open, but that's one of the few things that it says he's going to be like a regional advocate, which is great.
So an opportunity is right now we have federal delegations that are well positioned that can help us with regards.
Absolutely.
Is that internal though, Scott, or external?
That's going to be external.
Federal level. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that are favorable to us at this time.
Yeah, you have, and if you expand into Northwest, you've got a lot of key committee chairmen who are favorable to your disposition and stuff. And Senator Murkowski's been really great on energy and natural resources, continues to be a leader there, so good spot for you guys. Carl? Haven't heard anything from you in a while.
Just taking it all.
Taking it in, okay, all right. Tor, you have anything?
One thing I noticed is just that we are renewable, and that is like an opportunity. You know, maybe
our transitioning
okay.
Away from our renewable things.
Right, yeah, and about that, on the legislative side, it counts as renewable versus large hydro in the lower 48, if you're over a certain size, it will not count. So you don't get the same incentives. It's called incremental hydro, but that's something that is, it's really silly. It's all renewable, but because the powers that be, the folks in Congress, they want to limit that to be able to get the same credits for large hydro. So they, yeah, it's a tough one, but it's been a battle and it's been going on for a long time. But I think you guys would qualify based off the size of the
well, I don't think that hydro were listed as a renewable energy because of the dams and other things that they have associated with it. So we weren't allowed to apply for something green.
It's not green, but it is renewable.
It's based off the size. It's based off the size of the system. So it's basically there's a threshold for the amount of generation that comes off of a single asset. And it's, I don't remember what it is because it's been a while since I've looked at that. But if you're under that threshold, which I think you might be for the size of the plant that you guys are talking about, it's considered an incremental hydro upgrade, which would allow for, be qualified as a renewable.
We're not talking about credits.
No.
And it's only under credits, so there's really no, the benefit to the hydros is that it's zero carbon.
Right.
That's the benefit.
Right.
And whether renewable tends to be amorphous. So.
Right.
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 Under opportunities, I might add partnerships.
In what regard?
I think maybe you partner with somebody on a new project to lower your risk. Maybe you partner with some other entity to advocate for something.
Okay. All right. Raise your partnerships. Let's get this in here.
So you have these external forces out there. Some opportunities to have strength in numbers.
And then,
there's all kinds of that type of stuff. And we do a lot of that for folks that are familiar.
Great. So I captured it on the capital expense for investing in projects and then also on the legislative and regulatory.
Sure.
Okay, great. What else?
Now, just to check, is that also CEQA having a partnership with someone to help them as well?
It could be.
Sure.
I think partnership should be beneficial for both.
Right, right.
Typically, partnerships.
Okay, and I think Steve, who is it that mentioned weather?
I did.
Okay, and what, in terms of, do you have any thoughts on, can you expand on that a little bit?
Well, for the simple fact that when the weather is cooperative, we're 100% hydro.
Yeah.
And so that's cheap power. But we've had some weather anomalies where we've had a drought, and it has put us in a position where we have to evaluate the draw on the lakes, and then the communities end up burning diesel. And then you have the conversation about who's burning diesel, when they're burning diesel, who's paying for that diesel.
Yeah.
And then that's a direct impact on your ratepayers you hear about.
Yep.
Sure.
Yep.
Well, let alone possible regulations on the burning of the diesel.
Right.
Air emissions. Which could affect your ability to back up your hydros when there's not enough water.
Yep.
And from a municipal's perspective, it's repair and maintenance of these machines. Replacement of a big diesel is an expensive operation if you have a limited customer base.
So again, when we talk about fossil fuels as a backup, I guess the positive is that we're interconnected. And there may be an opportunity to, rather than build three small stations, build one station that could be dispatched.
Yeah.
So I'm going to work like possible.
So an opportunity to be consolidating assets? Is that what?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the opportunity is actually just what I would term Alaska, that we have a lot of generation opportunities with wind. Not hemmed in by borders and confines and interests of other communities. We have a sort of static market that's on an inner tide that spans a great deal of distance, which allows us opportunities for growth potential. I think we tie into our own grid. So, and also, I come back to potential an opportunity is that we have communities that are operating on people that could be potential customers. So, we should. We have some potential to grow up there if we have the power to build.
So we were just talking about weather, and obviously the uncertainty of weather is the external challenge that we have. But with the most recent uncertainty, the drought that's given us a triggering opportunity, a window of opportunity to have viable conversations about additional hydro assets and growth. It puts the will of the public behind it. And, we have a great idea and an opportunity, that's something that this board and future boards in the very future really have to weigh. But that window of opportunity of those triggering events is something that we have. Yes, community interest is high, need is high. With your valuations, potential sites, all those things are triggering opportunity, and that window is here. So I think all those challenges that we post also give us an opportunity, a window of opportunity to make some action happen.
I think the challenge with that is, like you said, the reason for that, we'd like to bring on new customers, but I don't know if we're going to have the ability to provide them talent. Because it would be unfair to provide a seasonal industry or even another community with hydropower when we have hydro available, have an interrupted power sales agreement, cut them off, and then have the local community for a week because we can have hydro. How do you manage?
So I kind of captured that customer or the new load support as a challenge. And Steve, I want to go back to this because I don't think we captured this, that Alaska, you're talking about really its separation from the rest and being individual and the ability to develop different types of generation. There was a lot in what you said. I just want to make sure we
Well, I guess what I'm trying to say is, and I'm only imagining that we have vast opportunities with Trey's talking to us about potential hydro sites, because all these potential hydro sites that we have available for potential development, because we're in this remote corridor that allows us a lot of opportunities. So I see this, our geographical location as a real opportunity. When you talk about wind, you know, down south, you probably you have a great deal of constraints because there's houses everywhere, freeways. And up here in Alaska, we have opportunity to hit this ridge or that ridge or over there. And our grid runs from Ketchikan all the way to Petersburg, and we tie in anywhere in that corridor. So we have this vast expanse of geographical region for development. So that's what I kind of mean by the Alaska factor. It's expensive, unfortunately, but we're lucky because we have a lot of terrain to work with. Mm-hmm. I see that as an opportunity that we should be lots of looking at, which we are, but I see that as an external opportunity.
Okay. Good. All right. Well, we've, I think, covered most of what we, I think, folks are excited about on the external side. Let's transition over to the internal. So we're looking here again for strengths and weaknesses. So now we're thinking internal to the organization. We're thinking CEO. We're thinking operations. We're thinking board. So let's fire off on that. Yeah.
So when you said that, you know, when we step into this room, we get able to put on our CEO hat and do what's best for CEO. But the other part of that is it's almost impossible for you to take off your local community hat as you sit here as a representative.
Right.
And sometimes the conversation may be challenging because it may benefit one and not the other. So that's a challenge.
Right. And what the indication that we got from the survey is that folks would like to find that middle ground.
Yeah, I think that's more than being either or, there has to be a way where we work together in regards to the common goal.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I go along with what Bob says. I don't think you can separate both of them, but you got to find that middle ground, as I'll call it. And that's what it's a growth session we're after now. Where is that? And there's a couple different opportunities, as Bob's talked about earlier. You have both the weather, you have the funding, you have some other things, and you have community perception that's involved with this, and so forth. And I think that's probably one of the biggest challenges we have.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and you're unique. GNTs are unique by nature when it comes to this kind of stuff. It's not like you're looking out for your service territory. You're looking out specifically for your municipal utility. And municipal utilities, by nature, have their own utility interests. Whereas a normal utility facilitation that we would do, it's a community. So it's different in that regard. And so, yeah, you guys do have, it's more nuanced in how we approach this.
But I also see it as a benefit to have the, you know, this setup is a benefit. It's a benefit because I can take the information directly back from my community and sell it directly back in terms of, so I'll give an example, the Swan Rays. If you take a quick brush at that, there was very limited benefit to my community from their perspective. But when I went back and explained that power flows both ways, there's greater security within the grid, all the factors. So having a direct link back to the community is a benefit. And so it can definitely be a deficit, but I can also, I think we need to try to play more to the strengths of having the communities being represented so prominently within the organization. I think there's a lot of potential for interplay between utilities, supporting each other, even through what we've done before with staffing. We've had questions to Petersburg or back and forth that can become a clearinghouse to make it stronger.
Yeah, well, to build on what you're saying, is if you take the submarine cable, there's no way that we alone could afford to replace that cable and play in kind and do everything else. But having an organization like we have, where we have a community pool, so to speak, makes a whale of a difference.
You guys, that would be nice.
Yeah. Did you want to
we're nice.
Advance your slide?
We're nice. Yeah. Boom. Moving on.
No.
Oh, sorry.
So, this is an incredible discussion, and it's just bringing a lot of things to because each person, I mean, this is not an investor owned with a board that is separate apart. This is a board that's controlling your generation, that's made up of members of the communities and the communities they serve. And you're right that you make decisions because of the health of this generation system and the health of CEPA is directly beneficial to those communities. And you are always representing those communities as a member of the board. So you always have, you can't change who you are in the communities that you represent. But what you are doing is making the decision for the health of the agency, for the benefit of the communities. And like you said, it's that collaboration that happens. And because people are different, because they're coming at this from different aspects of life, because of the different aspects that you guys wanted to bring into life, the different things you wanted to be as kids, the different things that you do as hobbies, all those things play into who you are and how you represent these communities, and that builds into the decisions that are going to be made for CEPA. And so it's absolutely a benefit, and it's an incredible thing, and it's an incredible opportunity that Alaska has, that Petersburg, Wrangell, and Ketchikan have. It's amazing.
All right, so let's transition into the internal side. Yeah, go ahead.
I think the length of board member terms is a weakness because they're so short, it takes away from the continuity of planning for the organization.
Okay.
Did somebody say that I wasn't paying attention? It was said earlier,
and actually it's strengths and weaknesses on that side. Not challenges and opportunities.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
One of our big internal strengths is our staff. The staff of CEPA, I think, is extraordinary. They're gifted and talented and self-starters, and no, they're definitely a strength.
Great. What else? Let's go. Rapid fire.
Timing of investment.
As a strength?
As a challenge.
As a challenge? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, this is a critical, for just one quick example, a critical decision that the organization will have to make is when would we pull the trigger on new generation? Could be $100 million, could add $6 million worth of annual debt. Our current total annual revenue averages about $11.5 million, so you can immediately see how significant that impact would be, and that impact would be for potentially 40, 50 year duration. So, yep.
And the constraints by total debt can only, or,
you can
your
only
assets,
get so much debt.
You're only going to be able to borrow.
Yep.
So the strength is that CEPA is common to all three of the communities. And so sometimes the challenge is when we start talking things like demand side management as a wholesale power company, how does that work for them?
I
think our strength is we're light on our feet. We're not burdened with high bureaucracy, and we're able to do things that other organizations would bog down the committee on. It happens quickly and efficiently, and that saves us money and keeps our rates low. And that is the fact that we haven't gone there is huge.
Very key.
And say that one more time, so I'll make sure I catch it.
So
I got
so
that. Oh, you got it? Yeah, they're light on their feet.
Okay.
We're a nimble organization. We can move very quickly and make decisions and execute when we need to.
So I think some of the things we put up for internal strengths, like great staff, I think you guys have great staff. CEPA has great staff. Provides a weakness as well, though, because, for example, your engineering department, you have a great engineering department, but it's not many people.
Yep.
So if you lose that person, you lose a great capability. That's a difficult thing to say, hey, we're going to replace. You just don't go grab that. So I think depth is a weakness.
Yep. We're a lean machine, but that just, so you, you
there's exposure
the
in that.
Machine, you have that exposure.
Yep.
So are we doing, we're doing strengths and weaknesses strengths instead and weaknesses. Of challenges
yeah.
and opportunities on the internal board.
On the internal, yeah. Yeah. Right. Sorry. Yeah.
And one thing I'd like clarification on that I mentioned is like on the board contact sheet, it says like Petersburg represents Taiyi and Wrangell Taiyi and Ketchikan and Swan Lake. And that's like a north-south divide, and I'd be interested, but I consider that a weakness and a strength maybe if we look at it as more of a call, where it's all communities, it doesn't matter. You're not representing the dams.
So Tor, just as a little background, that was kind of steeped inside of the PSA.
Yeah.
Because before they were interconnected, Taiyi was considered, is still mm-hmm. considered the dedicated project for the north, and Swan Lake for the south. So that it was kind of naturally developed like that.
Yeah.
Just giving you a little background to that. Yeah. But your point is well taken that you're trying to look at this more holistically.
Yeah, I want clarification if that's what you still want.
Yeah.
Are you